The state just announced the release of Connecticut's first comprehensive list of more than 300 validated industry-recognized credentials for high schoolers. Sounds really important, but what exactly are those and why does it matter to local high schoolers? Joining us now is Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Education, Charles Hughes. And Charles, welcome to the show. So what are industry-recognized credentials, also known as IRCs?
Good morning, and thank you very much. The industry-recognized credentials are really certifications that validate the knowledge, skills, or competencies that industry really is looking for in prospective employees. And in this case, students who are developing and learning those skills that they can apply to some future in the workforce.
Now, this is a cool list, which I'm going to put on our website, voiceofct.com. There are plenty of different categories. There's, of course, manufacturing, agriculture, arts, entertainment, construction, education, financial services, hospitality, marketing, sales, public service. It goes on and on. It's really pretty awesome. How did you guys craft this list?
Well, that's a great question. And I will say we're more of the curators. We reached out other departments, agencies, industry groups have always known some of the industry recognized credentials, or as you said, the IRCs that exist. And what we really tried to do was wrangle that. So we wanted to pull that together so that our schools and the programmers of curricula and pathways at our local public schools across the state, they could really have the knowledge base around which to design engaging and relevant coursework for students. And I just want to note, too, many of our school districts are doing this in pockets and have been quite successful. What we want to do is create a knowledge base around these IRCs so they can bring it to scale. We can do this universally across the state and really provide to students the opportunity to earn and show what they've earned to potential employers beyond high school.
I think it also gets some early exposure, Charles, to what they may want to do when they grow up. Like, I'm looking at the list of different things, and it includes, you know, a CPR certification. The list goes really on and on. Mm-hmm. There's video production. Yeah. There's things in agriculture, animal science, basically. I mean, there's just so many different opportunities. And I think these were probably in some regard always around, but it was a lot of you doing the groundwork, you, the parent or the teacher, whoever, doing the legwork to try and find, well, what could I get my kid into? So the fact that this is all in a very easy place to find and you can then kind of sort out what makes sense for your kid, I think is a big deal. Now, is this something they could start doing, like getting these certifications as a freshman, or is it more for when they're junior seniors?
Some of the certifications include an age restriction, but not many. The whole point of this, and I'm glad you brought up first aid, because I think many people are aware of CPR and first aid as a certificate, a credential that someone can earn. And, you know, you could do lifeguarding, you could do, babysitting type of coursework, if you'd like, that all align to that need for first aid. But when students have access to the next layer of that, the certified nurse's assistant or the certified pharmacy technician, they can start to accumulate these credentials in a particular field. And as you said, gain exposure to it to determine if that's what they want to do in the future. If they want to enter into that field, They might branch out. They might find, you know, the medical industry is great, but I'm really into data science too. So I'm going to start gathering credentials in technology, information technology. And so we can really provide them the ability to not only stack up these credentials, but also pivot and understand how they can make themselves marketable to employers.
And again, we're talking to the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Ed, Charles Hughes, is here. And Charles, the other thing with this is I'm not knocking college. I went to college, a proud college graduate, but I'm certainly raising a 7-year-old and open to my kid not going to college and going a different route if necessary. This also could allow you to get a bunch of certifications and land a job after high school without getting a college degree.
100%. And, you know, our partners in this at the Institutes of Higher Ed and the Office of Higher Education have helped us organize this list. And listen, you know, some students may not want to go to college right away. and they may want to enter the workforce. They may also find when they get into the workforce, they want to take a step up in their career and go back to college. Well, they'll have some of these credentials that'll allow them the opportunity to do so. And what we, as I said before, what we really want to do is scale this in programming across the state so school districts can start to design program that fits these IRCs into their coursework.
Now, another thing I have a question about here, Charles, is so I've got the list, which again, I'm going to put on our website, voiceofct.com. But this one stands out to me because it keeps coming up in different categories. Remote pilot certification. So I did a quick search on that. So this is really cool because it comes from the FAA and you have to just be 16. So again, you could be a junior, maybe even a sophomore. Mm-hmm. And very basic must-haves in order to do this program, for example. And you'd essentially be learning and getting, you know, passing the exam to be able to fly a drone, which again is really neat. And if you want to go into that industry, which we're trying to bolster that up and all that, but where do you take these classes? Like, can you also get connected to where you would go to get these certifications? Is this something that the schools will provide? Is it something that would take the place of an after school, either club or sport? Kind of want to understand that as well, like the commitment to get these certifications.
And that's something that's a part of our next step in this process. It actually starts with the list, doesn't end with it. We want to be able to assist school districts with answering those types of questions and really what fits the needs of the school district. So if there is, let's say it's a district that's in and around Pratt or Sikorsky and they really want to move in that direction and there's some, opportunity to build that coursework in, we would be able to not only make them aware of these types of IRCs, but then also assist in the design of that programming so that it could make it accessible to students in that region, right?
Right, because this pilot one, for example, it looks like you'd have to go through the FAA and do like an online course, which is fine. But again, I had to kind of do the legwork, not putting that on you. But I'm saying, once I saw that, it's then, okay, well, at least I've got a starting point of what my kid's interested in. But now I got to find where they could take the course or like the Stop the Bleed. I'm like, oh, where do you do those classes if you want to learn how to use a tourniquet? So that's sort of what my next question was, is so we're at the very basics of, hey, here's all the things you can get certified in during your high school years, but we don't have necessarily links to where you can go to get those certifications. Not yet.
Correct. And we don't have the robust system to tell all about these certifications. But what I will say, we do have our districts who are exploring these, right? And part of it is cross-pollinating that information. So if we find a few districts are listing these credentials, and getting students to earn them, we can now set up environments in which districts can connect and say, hey, this district over here is doing something really unique. We know they've been supporting kids get that IRC. Let's connect it with the five other districts that want to build out programming and support their work from there. So that's another part of the process.
Yeah, and again, I'm going to link this full list because even with a quick internet search, it's really not too hard to find where, like American Red Cross, I know was something that came up. There are other entities where they will offer some of these certification classes. And again, it's going to vary what you want to have done. While I have you here again, Charles Hughes, who's the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Ed, really quick question, because this has come up a couple of times in just the last few weeks from some of my listeners, specifically into talking about some of the skills that we could be giving our students before they graduate high school, especially if they want to go into different careers or they just want to have skills before they go to college or wherever that may be. Public schools offering things like auto shop, home economics, mechanics, cooking, seamstress work, things like that. Is that something that is a thing of the past? I can't speak for all public schools, but is that something that we're seeing more interest in? I know I grew up in the Fairfield Public School District. I can remember very vividly we had shop class, we had home ec, sewing, all of those. And this is, we're talking about the late 90s, early 2000s. So I'm dating myself a little bit here. But is that still a focus for the average public school district in Connecticut? And if not, are we looking to kind of reintegrate them?
I think that there is an opportunity in today's day and age to increasingly connect the learning of students to the world of work. We're not getting away from all of the other soft skills, durable skills, whatever you want to call it, the creative thinking, the problem solving type of learning. But we do also want to pair that with more discrete learned skills that students really can have a tangible outcome with. And that's the whole function of this IRC work. The challenge there for many districts is how to design that program. There's a lot of decisions to be made around that. It's the facilities, the expertise of the instructor, if you will. It's the supplies and materials that go along with it. So there is a commitment that many of our districts have to make to this type of programming. And so part of the knowledge is providing the list of IRCs so that districts can say, you know, this seems like to be a really robust pathway that's flexible and dynamic, and it's worth pursuing to develop out exactly what you're talking about, all that type of programming, rather than something that's very niche and, you know, a singular focus that might not be able to provide the access to students at the scale that we want it.
Yeah. So to that point, the IRC is also really helpful in that regard. So Charles Hughes, I want to thank you for what you do, Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Education, and for giving us this update here on WICC. We will link more information to our website, voiceofct.com. Thank you so much.